Well, we've been here, meaning my family have been here for almost 3.5 weeks. It's been great. We're here through December 17th, so I feel like we've been here forever. Maybe it's because I'm here a lot. Maybe it's because I've been here a lot that I feel like I've been here a while, but our family is so grateful for the hospitality, so grateful for the love, so grateful for our chance to be here with you guys. We love Scotland. I love Scotland. I love being here with you guys. It's been lovely. You can get me to do my Scottish accent later. But it's rubbish. Anyway, I want to tell you a quick story about my kids. Some of you have met my kids. This is Rebecca. This is Sarah. This is Beth. They're great. They're great. But one particular day, we were out and about in town, not here. We were back at home. It's been a while back now. I won't tell you exactly when, just so, you know, to protect their innocence. But we were out and about, and it wasn't the best day they'd ever had. We were driving around doing some errands, that kind of thing, and they were kind of getting on each other's nerves. Do you guys ever have... Those of you that are parents, so your kids ever get on each other's nerves? And those of you that have brothers and sisters, do your brothers and sisters ever get on your nerves? Yeah. Have you ever had friends that get on your nerves? Yeah. Well, you kind of know the feeling, right? And you kind of know what wells up inside of you when that begins to happen, right? It's this sort of, everything begins to tense up. And eventually, well, as adults, we can't do this. I mean, most of us have learned not to hit each other. But at a certain age, you have to let that feeling out. And sometimes it comes out in screaming, like horrible names at each other, or it comes out in hitting. And this particular day, we had a little bit of both. We had a little bit of both. And so as I'm trying to maintain my sanity and trying to do the errands that we're doing that particular day, I'm dealing with my kids' acting like kids sometimes do. And you know, I don't want to throw them under the bus here. We've all have probably behaved in ways that we shouldn't have. On this particular day, though, they were really getting under my skin. And so I made a conscious decision that particular day that I was going to teach them a lesson, a lesson they would not forget, a lesson that would be driven into their minds forever. So, like any good dad did, I pulled the car into the drive-thru at McDonald's, and I got them each an ice cream cone. And as they were stunned in their silence as we drove through the drive-thru to get ice cream cones that particular day, I said to them, I said, "You guys did nothing to deserve these ice cream cones. However, because I love you, I'm going to extend grace to you and give you something you don't deserve, just like Christ did for us." So I was trying to be kind of a good, you know, kind of model dad or whatever. And so tonight, we are going to be talking. Oh, I got to turn this on. That helps. Here we go. Pause for dramatic effect. It should be working. Hit it. Oh. Oh, this is. Maybe you pull it out and push it back in. We love technology. I'm getting that feeling. Hey, all right. All right. Tonight we're going to be talking about grace. I don't know if this little button thing will work, but we'll give it a shot. What exactly is grace? What exactly is it? You may be surprised to know that Jesus never used the word itself. He never used the word grace. He taught it, and equally important, he lived it. But grace is found multiple times in the New Testament, throughout the New Testament, and throughout the Bible. And as you know, most of the New Testament is compiled of letters written to either individuals or churches. And many times those letters would end in a message of grace. Sometimes they would even begin with a message of grace. And, oh, look. And one of our, maybe the most famous, or perhaps maybe the most often heard, comes here at the end of 2 Corinthians 13, where it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And that's kind of the feeling I wanted to give my kids that day. I wanted them to understand the fellowship of God, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, and how much the Lord loves them in this little ice cream example. Now, this is not the only time that we see this particular verse or this type of blessing in the New Testament. As you can see, it's all throughout the letters of the Bible. And here, take a look. Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Titus, Hebrews, Colossians, Philemon, Timothy. It's in a lot of places. It's very important. And it still is today. So how do we understand grace? What is it exactly? Very good. It is. It's a gift of God. Grace means unmerited favor. Now, I don't know if you guys use the word merit very often. I mean, how many of you guys are in scouting? Any scouts? Use the word merit very often? Like a merit badge? You don't have merit badges? Okay, just call them badges. But the word grace means unmerited favor. And it's connected to an Old Testament word which means to bend or to stoop. Or condescending favor. Condescending favor. My family is going to London next week. Actually, later this week, I should say. We have some meetings, or I have some meetings I have to attend down there with some Young Life staff. But while we're down there, we're going to get a chance to go and see some of London while we're there. Walk around the streets, play tourists, that kind of thing for a day or two. And as Americans, we're fascinated with royalty. We're fascinated by it. Come to our country and you'll see the magazines are covered with them, I guess just like they are here to some degree. And maybe it's because we don't have royalty in America. I mean, unless you take, you know, maybe Kim Kardashian or something. I don't know. Maybe she's not royal, no. But I think we're so interested because we don't have it. We're so interested in what the Queen is doing, or we're so interested in what Kate and Will are doing. And you guys are probably so familiar with it or so used to it that I'm sure you've noticed the sophistication. I'm sure you've noticed the aloofness sometimes, the distance of the royals. However, on occasion, I'm sure you'll know that the Queen will make news because she will stoop or kneel down or bend down or touch or handshake or bless some commoner. That is grace. There is nothing in the commoner that deserves being noticed or touched or blessed by the royal family. There's nothing. But because of the grace that's in the heart of the Queen, there's a desire at that moment to pause, to touch, to stoop, to bless. There's a pastor in America named Donald Barnhouse who perhaps said it best when he said it like this: love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. Love that stoops is grace. Back to ice cream cones. It's a bit of a stretch, I know. It's a bit of a stretch to go from ice cream cones to God's amazing grace. The lesson I was trying to teach my girls that day is a bit of a stretch. I know that. But how are we to comprehend God's grace? God's grace that forgives all of our sins of every day and night without any precondition, without works, and without remembrance. How are we to comprehend that? And I think we can learn a couple of things, a few things, from this little simple ice cream experience. You with me? Okay? So here we go. First, God's grace is unmerited favor. Now, that's a simple definition, to be sure. And you may have heard more elaborate definitions. But simply stated, grace is unmerited favor. So what is merit? Merit. It's a noun. The qualities or actions that constitute the basis of one's deserts. A praiseworthy quality, virtue, character or conduct deserving reward, honor, or esteem. Also, achievement, spiritual credit held to be earned by performance of righteous acts, and to ensure future benefits. That's merit. Merit is something about us that makes us deserving. But grace is undeserved on the part of the recipient. My kids had in no way earned ice cream that day. They were totally at fault. Anything good I might do could not be in any response to any virtue they had, for they had none at that point, as far as I was concerned, nor as a reward for anything they had done. They had deserved to be punished for their attitudes and actions. Ice cream on that day, at that moment, was because of grace. In the same way, we are in no way deserving of God's love. There is nothing in us that compels God to show any favor towards us, but He loves us anyway. His grace is unearned and unearnable. Second, God's grace is costly. Grace is typically very expensive. But it's free to those who receive it, but it's costly to the giver. The only way we could say that grace isn't very costly is if the gift cost the donor very little. That day, my grace cost my kids nothing. It cost me some frustration and maybe some soul searching as I sat there trying to think of, you know, what to do, how to deal with them. Ultimately, it cost me about $3 worth of ice cream. But in the grand scheme of things, my grace that day was not very costly. But God's grace is costly. This morning, Pastor John talked a little about economics. Now, while he is much smarter and wiser than me, I do know one thing about economics. The more you're willing to spend on something, the more valuable it is to you. Let me say that again. The more you're willing to spend on something, the more valuable it is to you. Listen to this. Come on. Aw, what happened? I think I did that. I hit the wrong button. Help me. There we go. Here we go. Perfect. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of His great love for us, He left heaven and came down to earth to live with us and to die for us so that we might be able to have His eternal life. Now, I know you guys have heard this all before. It cost God a lot to have a relationship with us. And some may insult that grace, or some may reject that grace, or trample on it, or disgrace it, but it doesn't lower its value. His grace was willing to pay a price that none of us could afford. None of us could afford. Third, God's grace is hard to believe. Now, my kids were probably shocked that day when I announced that ice cream was in their future. They probably couldn't believe it. And why should they? Right? From day one, they were brought up, and hey, so were all of us to some degree. We're all brought up in some sort of a merit system. I mean, think about it. A system in with, which acceptance is based upon some sort of performance. Do this and you'll be rewarded. Right? Fail to do this and you'll be punished. Right? It's all around us. At school. Perfect example. Don't do your assignment, you fail. Do your assignment, hopefully you pass. Right? At work, right? Don't do your job, get fired. Do your job, you make money. At home, you know where I'm going. Sometimes at church, even. We see this type of system all around us. And it's not easy to believe someone who says that he or she will do something good for us that we don't deserve. There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? You've heard that expression, maybe? But that's what God's offering. He's offering to trade us our broken, poor, sinful life for his amazing, spirit-filled, abundant eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a result of works that no one should boast. It's a gift. But we have to believe it and we have to receive it. Now, what did he have to do to get that? Exactly right. I offered him a fiver. All he had to do was take it. That's all he had to do. He did nothing. He had no expectation. He didn't know what was coming. Wasn't anything about him. He's not exactly the greatest looking guy in the room. So it's not that he earned it. It's not that he earned it. All he had to do was receive it. All he had to do was receive it. Finally, God's grace can change us. Now, I picked on my girls a little bit tonight, and they're truly wonderful girls. They're loving, they're kind, they're helpful, they're compassionate at times. Just like we all are, right? And I'd like to think that my lesson in grace that day with ice cream made some lasting impact on them, and that they've never been bad again. But just like us, right? How many times do we have to do this over and over and hear this message again and again and again? That's the nature of grace. Even on my best days, I'm no more deserving of God's love than on my worst day. Psalm 103 says it like this: the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. I love definitions. What does abounding mean? To be present in large numbers or in great quantity, to be prevalent, to be copiously supplied. It's not, again, not a word that I use very often, but I like things that are present in large numbers. Unless it's people trying to hurt me. When we begin to grasp how much God truly loves us in spite of what we do, then we're free to truly live. No more hiding, no more comparing, no more trying to earn God's love for us. When we're free in our relationship with God, that frees up our earthly relationships as well. As we experience freedom from Him, we're free to be more of who God wants us to be more of who He created us to be, to live this freedom out in relationships one to another. Now, I'm betting that there might be a few of you that are sitting here thinking that God's grace is nice. It's great. But you're not that bad of a person. And you've done a pretty good job so far with your life. And while this sounds good, you're doing okay and you don't need grace all that often. But my guess is that there's maybe a few more of us that are sitting there thinking, how could God love me? If people in this room only knew what was in my heart and what I'd been thinking and what I've done, they would toss me out the doors. Now, if you're in this group, this second group, struggling to know how much God loves you, how he wants to lavish you with his grace, I want you to sit back, listen, and watch this.
There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? But I'm back here again after trying so hard and giving so much. I feel exhausted. Why can't I let go of my idols? Why can't I let go of my sin and just get over this hill? God, where are you? I feel like I have no faith. How can you love me?
How can I give you up? My heart is torn within me, and my compassion overflows, for I am God and not a man.
But I still feel like a mess. Look at me. I have the hardest time being good.
But no one is good. No one is righteous. I justify the wicked and came to call the unrighteous to myself. Come to me. You are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
I have. But I've left you over and over and over, and I've screwed up again and again and again.
But it's not by your might, nor by your power, but by my spirit.
So what am I supposed to do then? What is the work that you require?
This is the work I require. And these are my commands: to believe in me, and to love your brothers.
So, your commands are not burdensome.
And my burden is light. He who believes in me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life.
So I am saved by grace. Not by any of my words.
Because your sins were like scarlet, but I have washed them white as snow.
Because your compassion for me is new every morning.
And I do not appoint you to suffer wrath, but to receive my salvation. And no one can condemn me, for I died, raised to life, and intercede for you.
Who can separate me from your love? Shall suffering or hardship or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, for in all things I am an overwhelming victor through you who loves me.
For neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will separate you from my love. So mountains may be shaken and hills be torn down, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken.
So this is love. Not that I love you, but that you love me and gave yourself up for me. This is a trustworthy thing, that Christ died to save me.
I can't pass out ice cream tonight. I seriously thought about it. I asked Claire earlier. She works at McDonald's. I said, how many ice cream cones could I buy? Can I give a little coupon out or a voucher? But I do know this. God is ready to give you his sweet love. And this love is wider and higher and longer and deeper than you can possibly imagine. Let me pray for us. Lord, it is hard to understand why you would love us sometimes. It's hard to imagine that you would stoop to give us your love. But you say time and time and time again that you love us more than we can possibly imagine. Help us to remember that. Help us to rest in that. Help us to walk in that each and every day of our lives. Help us to know that your grace is indeed there and real, and it covers all of us. We're grateful. We're grateful for what you do in our lives. We're grateful for your Spirit who gives us the ability to walk and to understand this love so that it can overflow in our lives and into the lives of those around us. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of us today and forevermore. Amen. Are we going to sing some more songs?
Yeah, we've got one song that's
appropriate. All right, let's do it.
If you feel God's been talking to you tonight and you want to carry on that conversation, you'd like someone here to be part of it, then there are folks around. It's Mike himself, it's Andy.